So nature definitely offers us some very important lessons and guidelines in regards to a healthy community. So what are some of these lessons? Well, first of all, a new economics must be harmonious with the planet and our true human needs. Now, under the influence of the old paradigm notions of lowest common denominator, survival of the fittest, we've seen our economic interests in terms of what's good for me, my family, my group. But now, with survival of our species being an issue, it's time to look past merely generating individual wealth and focus on preserving and growing the commonwealth, which is that which our entire species needs to happily thrive. So just as single-cell organisms reach the limit of success as individual entities, the new economics has to simultaneously provide for individual thrival and species survival.
Interestingly, in that regard to economics, we could get some information when we go back and look at the nature of the cellular community. As mentioned, every cell has a job, be it a liver cell, a heart cell, a bone cell, or a muscle cell. It's carrying out a function in support of the entire community. In response for that effort, cells receive pay in the form of ATP molecules. So all cells are actually given excess money or energy, in this case, for their efforts. However, cells don't start accumulating massive amounts of energy on their own. What happens when the cell is covered and has maintained enough energy to cover its own life needs? The extra energy created by the cells in a successful community are deposited into a central account. This extra reserve of energy is available for the entire community wherever it is necessary to support the growth and health of the human body. That energy is expended. So it is necessary to look at the fact that, well, as individuals in our world, while we each are making money, there's a certain amount of money which beyond that is quite excessive. And that money should, if we look at the nature of the human body, be returned to a common cause there where we can use that money to support the advancement of human civilization.
Now, as you would tell us, Bruce, the cells get paid. Of course, all cells are cared for, but the cells that do the most important job require more energy, right?
Absolutely. So it's not a communism where all get the same pay. Nerve cells get a lot more money than skin cells, for example, but their jobs are much more relevant and important to the maintenance of the whole.
So the second principle is that if we're all cells of the body of humanity and citizens, the biosphere, then we have to look at economy and ecology are one and the same. Our body has to deal with everything that's internal. And so just in the same way, our planet, our economy, and our ecology has to deal with everything. It's a very interesting work by architect William McDonough, and his book is called Cradle to Cradle. And he has come up with a radical concept that he's used in his building design. And the concept is there's no such thing as waste. Everything is food. So when he does a building, when he uses materials, he knows that at the end of the day, that material is going to be used to be recycled into something else. It's going to be fuel for something. His buildings are so efficient that they actually produce more energy than they use. He's able, through solar panels, to actually generate more energy than the building can use, and then they'll grow crops and fruit trees on the roof. So this building ends up being a productive entity.
And like the body, Steve, what he's doing is he's taking his income and with the excess income, returning it back to the environment for the support of all. And this is essentially what we have to recognize because we live in a world where we see ourselves as individuals at the current moment. But the evolution says, no, we are, in fact, individual cells, but we're cells of a larger construct called humanity. So our contribution is not just for ourselves, but ultimately is necessary that our contribution support the survival and thrival of humanity as a whole.
Okay, well, what would the body have to say about growth? Because we're always talking about how an economy has to grow.
Yeah, Steve, that's a very interesting point because what it recognizes is that our perception of a continuous economic growth as an indicator of the health of our civilization is an unfortunate error in regard to the nature of living systems. Because when we do look at living systems, yes, when living systems are evolving, they're in a very rapid state of growth. However, they do reach a state of maturity. And when they're in that mature state, the growth is cut back. It doesn't mean that they're not growing, but the amount of growth is equal to the amount of loss. So there's a point of sustainable growth and not enhanced growth. If an organism behaved in the way that our economists see our civilization, that means that organism would be continuously feeding itself, continuously growing at a certain percent all the time. Inevitably, that would lead to such an obese organism that it would kill the organism. And so consequently, we must start to recognize that our economy, based on a continuous perpetual growth percentage, is flawed because living systems do not express that type of growth. We have to recognize there's a point where our growth and economy will slow down as a natural consequence of maturity and then sustain itself in just containing the turnover of materials in our world.
You know, interestingly, how we can apply this to our greater economic system, this idea of efficiency, which is really what the body is about, is that economic growth must come to mean the growth of happiness. For after all, what do we want all these goods for? We want these goods because we think they're going to make us happy. Well, if we actually had the happiness, whether we had the goods or not, that would actually be better. So we need to produce good goods, and we need to produce greater goodness. There's something called the Happy Planet Index. And the Happy Planet Index is a measurement of life satisfaction plus life expectancy divided by our ecological footprint, which is essentially how efficiently a country converts its resources into happiness. So out of 178 nations, the United States comes out number 150 behind Ethiopia, Nigeria, and Pakistan. Why is that? Well, call us Bigfoot. Our footprint is really large. As happy or as unhappy as we are, it takes a lot of resource to produce our happiness. Compared to Costa Rica, which came in third, the average American uses four times as much resources. Now that's inefficiency.
There's a lesson to be learned from evolution, Steve, that really directly applies to this. And it says that in the history of evolution, any organism that was ultimately inefficient has become extinct. So the writing is on the wall.